Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. I want to just take a few minutes. What's the time? 12:25. I won't keep you long. I'm going to try to read. I have a few scriptures here. I honor our Heavenly Father, the Father of Fathers, the best Father anyone could have. Amen. We honor all fathers, all men, and all men in the making. I honor our women, our mothers, grandmothers, wives, sisters, daughters, and friends. You raised us, and you help us become the men of God that we were created to be. Every man in the house, would you stand to your feet? Let's honor our women. Let's love them. Let's love them. Come on, help me. Let's honor our women. We love them. Our young women, our older women, our mothers, our grandmothers, our sisters, our friends. Amen. Amen. We thank God for all of you. Please be seated. Amen. I hope you forgive me. I can't go through the confession. That's a powerful confession. It takes a bit of a chunk of time to get through. That also exploded in South Florida last week. And I already gave my permission for it to be taken to a world conference somewhere out in South America. I will do my utmost best to go through it in every service. You know how much power there is in that confession. But I just want to save a little time this morning. We'll get back to it next Sunday, if that's okay. Amen? All right, let's talk to you today. Let's hear from the Lord about what I have captioned. I am a man under authority. I am a man under authority. Today, I want to speak to all men, fathers, men in the making, and the women who help in raising and making God's men. Let's start out from Matthew chapter 8, and let's read from verse 5 to 10. Let's just start out real quickly from there. Matthew chapter 8, that is where that theme for the service or for the message is taken from. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 5 to 10. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard of it, verse 10, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. The Lord was so impressed with this centurion. He was so pleased, he was so blessed by that man. And I'm trusting God that this message helps us move a little closer to that man, to becoming more of that man that the Lord is pleased with. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little foundational scripture right here in James chapter 4 and verse 7. Let's just look at that real quick in the God's Word translation and also in the complete Jewish Bible. I don't know if that you have that. If you don't have it, I'll read it from here. But I love this this scripture very much. Very, very short, very simple. But listen to what it says, and then I'm going to get into reading my notes here. As it says, so, this is the God's Word, so place yourselves under God's authority. Is that the King James? Do you have the God's word? You don't have the God's word. Let me just read. So place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Let me read that again from the God's word. So place yourselves under God's authority. Resist the devil and he will run away from you. As a man, the best thing you can do to ensure the well-being of your family and to secure a great future for the ones you love is to submit yourself to God's authority. Is to submit yourself to God's authority. When you submit yourself to God's authority and when you resist the devil, he will run away from you. Notice the Bible didn't say pray hard, fast a lot, go on a mountain. No. He said just submit yourself to God's authority and then resist the devil. When the devil comes around, you recognize, say, no, not here. And then what would happen? He will run, the Bible says. He didn't say he will go away. No, he will run away from you. The complete Jewish Bible says, therefore, submit to God. Moreover, take a stand against the adversary. And he will do what? He will flee from you. All right, let's move on from James chapter 7. Let me tell you a few very powerful and very profound things here. If you're a man, listen very closely. If you're a woman, listen closely, because this will help you pray for the men in your lives. Hallelujah. And like I said earlier on, I'm making these outlines available through our website, so you can go there. You want to take that extra step, study and pray. Use those as praying materials. If you're already married, pray for the men in your life. You're believing God for a husband, use that to pray for the kind of man that you are believing God to give to you. All right, let's go here. As a man, you are the door and the gatekeeper into your family. You are God's door into the world. It is through you that life is created and established on the earth. You carry the seed of God for procreation and posterity. Without you, there will not be another generation of the human race. You are the shepherd and the priest. Listen, that is not by gender superiority or status, but it is by placement. Listen to this. Headship is not by age or gender or status or popularity. God is not a politician. Headship is by placement, and placement is by God's appointment. When a man does not take his rightful place of headship in a family, in a community, or in a nation, God will raise up a replacement. You remember in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, the Bible says, let's read that scripture actually. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Listen to what it says here. And when he had removed him, talking about Saul, he raised up to them David to be their king. I think I might minister the message before Open Heavens weekend next week out of some of this scripture, actually, because this has been burning in my spirit for quite a while. Under this series of messages that I'm ministering on keep the serpent out of your garden, I'm going to talk about this a little bit next week, if the Holy Spirit allows me to. If not, I'll minister whatever he gives me. Amen. But he says this, when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse. Notice God said, I have found. That means he was looking. I have found. God is always looking. He's always looking. He's always looking. He said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will fulfill all my will. Isn't it remarkable? David was the youngest of all the brothers. Yet God said, I have found him. Hallelujah. Amen. David was not the head of the family. He was not the mother. He was not the father. He was not the eldest brother. He was, no. David was actually the youngest. He was actually in the wilderness. God, his parents, his family, his brothers, everybody forgot about him. But God said, I have found David. Notice, it is not by gender. It is not by age. It is not by popularity. Because God is not a politician. Hallelujah. He said, I have found David, a man after my own heart who will do all my will. He deposed Saul. Saul refused to take his place. He had all the qualities and all the characteristics and all the giftings that God was looking for in headship. But he refused to take his place. The next time God looked for a replacement for Saul, God said, I'm not even going to look at physical characteristics. I'm not even going to look at abilities. Gender doesn't matter to me. All of that doesn't matter to me. I'm going to look for a man who has a heart like me. You see, that is an incredibly rare combination that has been uncommon since the beginning of the world and still is uncommon today. A real man with the heart of God. I love that. A real man with the heart of God. And when God finds one, he says, I have found the one. I have found the one. I pray today that you are that one. Amen. The men hearing me, any man, whether you are here or virtual or listening to this message at some point in the future, I pray that you are that man that God has been looking for. Amen. He found David. And then he found Abraham before he found David. And look at his testimony about Abraham. He said in Genesis chapter 18 verse 19, we got to read that scripture. I know him, God said. For I know him, God said. Let's read that scripture. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. God is vouching for a man. May you be the man God can vouch for in the name of Jesus. See, the man is not the one. He's not the one raising his voice. He's not the one stomping his feet. He's not the one boasting and claiming what he has and who he is. No, it is God boasting about him. It is God vouching for him. May God boast about you. Yes. May God vouch for you. Amen. He said right there in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19. Let's take it from verse 18. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. Verse 19. For I know him. Somebody say, I know him. Somebody say, I know him. When a man says, I know him, when a human being says, I know him, their knowledge is even limited because they don't really know everything. But when God says, I know him, my friends, God really knows. God really knows. He says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household. After that's why you heard me quickly correct Pastor Muyiwa when he said advice. No, I said, no, it's not advice. That's not advice. What's the word there? It's command. It's command. It's not advice. In our world today, I use this illustration too. I've used it before, but I used it also in our ministry in South Florida last Sunday. Our world is very conditioned to advice and to suggestions and to appeals. These things are very nice because they massage our emotions. They help us feel better about doing what we need to do. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But I just want you to know, we need to get used to it as God's people. Every word from God is a command. Every word. God never gives suggestions. You may not like it. I know many people don't like it. I've been saying it. I said it in this service a couple of weeks before we traveled. And I said it there in that service. And I could feel the resistance. I could feel that resistance coming back. Because we live in a world where people are so conditioned to suggestions. You know, the free will has been taken to an ungodly extreme. Right? Well, yeah, I have my free will. I can do whatever I want. Yes, you can. You still can. But that doesn't change God's command. It never will make the fact that you have a free will, the fact that you want to choose to do what you want to do, does not change the fact that God's instructions are God's instructions anyways. God isn't going to negotiate his instructions. He isn't going to change his command. His command is not going to be a suggestion just because you don't feel good. about God making it a command. But notice what the Bible says about Abraham. He says, for I know him that he will command his children. Hallelujah. I love it. I love that. He will command his children and his household after. We're going to church today.
Yes, come on. Yes.
This is the day of the Lord. We're going to church.
Yes.
We have morning devotion. Bring out your Bibles. It's time for prayer. Let's get up and pray. He said, I know him. He will command. He will command his children and his household after him. And together, all of them, they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Folks, I don't have a lot of time, and this is not in my note, but I can say this to you quick. The missing link between the promise and the prophetic manifestation is the command.
Amen.
The missing link between the promise and the results, the prophetic manifestations, the miracles, the divine encounters, the missing link between the promise and the product that we seek is the command. God said, when Abraham leads his family, and I'm going to give you a little context here, because I know why many people are resistant to the notion of a command. I know why our generation is. Because that also has been taken to an ungodly extreme. People abuse people based on God said. God never told you to abuse anybody. People take advantage of people based on God said is a command. God never told you. God never told any preacher. God never told any preacher to exert authority over any human being and make them do things they don't want to do in the name of God. No, God never did that. I know why we're so reluctant. I know why we're so resistant. I know why it's so difficult. Because for everything God does, there's always an extreme that humans create. But I want to show you the context right here. God said, Abraham will command his children and his family. Therefore, when they do that and all of them do my will and fulfill my purpose together, then that makes it possible for me to bring to pass the promises that I have made concerning them. But I want you to notice, earlier on in this same scripture, in Genesis chapter 18, you see there, it was Genesis 18, 19, where God said, I know him, he will command his family, his children. But in Genesis chapter 18 from verse 1, let's read this quickly because I don't have time. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, appeared unto Abraham, and he sat in the tent door, in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes. Somebody say he lifted up his eyes. Oh, hallelujah. I want to say some things to you about headship today. I'm going to say a few things. It's in my notes, it's all there. But I'm going to say a few things to you, and I'm going to say a few more things about headship to you under that series of message that I'm preaching, teaching. Keep the serpent out of your garden. Headship is so powerful. He lifted up his eyes, and he looked. And lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, what did he do? He ran to meet them from the tent door. He didn't know them. He ran to meet them. And he bowed himself toward the ground. What a humble man. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from your servant. He calls himself his servant. Let a little water be fetched, I pray you, for you. And let's wash your feet. Let's rest yourselves under the tree. How many people remember when Jesus, one of those days, he gathered his 12 disciples. He said, all of you sit down. He got a towel, put it on his shoulder, and he started to wash their feet and wipe their feet. Mm-hmm. How many people remember this story in John chapter 13? And when some of them resisted, "No, you are the Lord," you can't even say, no. I'm among you as one that serves," he said. And he said, "As I wash your feet, I want you to wash one another's feet." Yes. We don't qualify to lead unless we serve. There is no... Let's keep going here so I don't preach. Hallelujah. "Let a little water be fetched. And in verse 6, I will fetch a morsel of bread." Notice he's the one doing it all first. He's Abraham doing it first. "Let water be gotten. Let morsel of bread. Then after that..." Now look, watch this now in verse 6. "And comfort your hearts, and you shall pass on. For therefore you are come to your servant." And they said to Abraham, "Go and do as you have said." Verse 6. "And Abraham hastened into the tent to go and call Sarah." Remember, it was a family of two. Husband and wife and servants. It began with Abraham and it went on to Sarah. Abraham simply called Sarah to join him in what he was already doing. That's all it was. You see this from the Bible here?
Yes.
Abraham simply called Sarah to join him in doing what he was already doing. He didn't tell Sarah, "Go find out what we need to do." That's not headship. He didn't tell Sarah, "You go and get it done, and I'll join you by and by." That's not headship. I want to tell you some things about headship. Anatomy does not make headship. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. Your physical, natural endowments do not make you the head. No, that's not what makes... I'll tell you in a minute what makes you the head. Hallelujah. And the Lord told me, "Son, just be gentle when you preach it." So I'm trying to... I'm doing my best to be gentle as I preach it. Somebody stretch your hands to him and say, "Give him the spirit and the grace for gentility." You know how my engine can just go. I mean, just, you see, I started going. So that's Tabasco sauce. Thank you. It's so just God says, "Just keep that Tabasco. Keep it down there." The Lord said, "Be gentle." Because at the end of the day, God's goal is that the word will produce fruit in our lives.
Yes.
God's goal is not that we spoke the word. Some people are like, "I preached it." Eh? That's not his purpose. He's not trying to just have you preach it. He wants it to produce in the lives of his people.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say, "Preacher, be gentle." Come on, say it. I know you are saying it in your heart. Say it out loud. Don't worry. Don't be merciful to me. Because you know how it is. God, don't worry. Don't be gentle with me. Just as a preacher, be gentle.
Preacher, be gentle.
Hallelujah. If you are gentle with us, we'll be gentle with you. Say that. He went into the camp, into the house, and called Sarah, and he said, now listen to, look at this now. He didn't say, "Sarah, I think it would be a good idea." No. What verse are we reading? Verse 6. "Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, 'Sarah, make ready. That's not an advice. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. "Sarah, make ready quickly. In case Sarah was still dragging. You know, sometimes it takes time to get up. "Quickly, Sarah, quickly." You know, it took Lot's wife a long time to get up.
Yes.
It didn't just take her a long time to get up. It took her a long time to finally agree to leave Sodom. Sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes just help me understand. Have you heard those words before? Okay, help me understand. Isn't that familiar? Help me understand. Well, honey, sometimes you may not understand. Just make, well, not the food. Just follow the Lord's instructions. Somebody's, I'm getting unsolicited help. Lord, help me today. I want to be gentle, but not this gentle. Hallelujah. You will see why I don't want to be this gentle in just a couple of minutes. I want to be gentle, but not this gentle. Hallelujah. He said, just make the food. Make it quickly. These men are hungry. Make it quickly. 3 measures of fine meal. Knead it. Make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham went. He ran. Watch this. He ran unto the herd. And he fetched a calf tender and good. And he gave it to a young man. That's one of his servants. See, because he could direct Sarah. Because he could call Sarah. And Sarah could be a part of what he was doing. Because he knew that was pleasing to God. It was easy for him to go to the young man. It was easy for him to go to the young woman. It was easy for him to go to the children if they had children. Because it was easy. It was easy. When Sarah joined him in doing what God had commanded, it became easy. Somebody say it became easy. And Sarah, the Bible says, he went to the young man. Hallelujah. He went to the young man. And he hasted to dress it. Verse 8. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed. And he set it before them. And he stood before them at attention under the tree. And he watched them eating. He watched them eating. Abraham knew something was going to happen. He didn't understand it. He didn't know it. He didn't fully get it. But he knew something was about to happen. Oh man, I pray for you. Every man, put your hand on your head. Young man, older man, wherever you are listening to me under the sun, put your hand on your head in the name of Jesus. I receive the grace of perception. I receive the grace for perception to see before it is seen, to know before it is known, to have clarity in my spirit before it becomes clear in the natural. I receive it as part of headship. As part of headship. He knew something was about to happen. He didn't know what, but he knew something was about to happen. And they said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? See now. It's time for the promise. Yes. They already obeyed the command. Amen. They already fulfilled the instruction. Where is Sarah your wife? Notice, it was the man who poured water first. Yes. It was the man who went in the house trying to gather everything that was needed first. Mm-hmm. But when the miracle came, it came through the woman. Oh, God's order is so beautiful. If we can find it. That's why God's so passionate about having the order of God in every area of our lives. God's order is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It was the man who did the serving, who did the laboring, who did the commanding, but it was the woman who received the promise. And he said unto him, where is Sarah your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son. And Sarah had it. Behind the tent door. Don't worry about it. Let's not go to where she was laughing. That's not necessary. She just couldn't understand it. That's why she laughed. She was just expressing. I love it because Sarah was just really walking from her heart. And God loves it when we walk from our heart. Yes. Glory be to God. God said he will command. But the context of him commanding is that he was a servant first. He is not a boss. He is a true father with the heart of our heavenly father. Say this with me. He's not a boss. But he is a true father with the heart of our heavenly father. He's a servant leader who leads by his own example. Brown driver Briggs tells us the Hebrew word out of which command is taken is the Hebrew word sava. And it means to command, to charge, to give orders, to lay charge, to give charge to order someone to do something. Another commentary says it's a verb meaning to order, to direct, to appoint, to command, to charge, to be ordered, to be commanded. The word means to give an order or to command, to direct someone. It indicates commands given to people in various situations. It actually also represents the command that God gave Adam and Eve in the garden not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The only reason I read all of that to you is I want you to see that the command that God gives is not different from the command that man gives. When man gets under God's authority, and when man takes on the nature of God, and man takes up the heart of God, the command that man gives is not in any way different from the command that God gives. He will command. This is my definition of that word. Sorry, I took my mic off. This is my definition of that word command. To provide direction with God's authority as a servant leader who leads by his own example. To provide direction with God's authority as a servant leader who leads by his own example. He will lead by his devotion to God. He will lead by his love for his family. He will lead by his example and servanthood. He will lead by his authority. He will know God. He will walk with God. He will be a priest in his home. He will serve God. He will be spiritual. He will take his place. He will lead. Notice, God didn't say, Sarah will command her family. It's not there in the Bible. Sarah's assignment was to nurture, to help. But if Abraham, and listen to this now, I want to get into talking a little bit about headship. But if Abraham did not take his place, God would have beckoned to Sarah to do the leading of the family. God is just looking for a door he can access every family and every generation through. Amen. God is just looking for a door. Amen. Listen to this. This may surprise you, but you already know it. But it will resonate with your spirit. Listen to this. There have even been times when God had to go all the way down to find a child in the family because the parents wouldn't lead. You know this for sure. He even called some of the youngest children because they were the ones yielded to God in the family. Notice that God called Joseph and God called David as the shepherds of their families. These were some of the youngest people God ever called. And when those boys became older men with their own families, God didn't abandon them and go use their children in their place when they were still alive. No, because those men were turned on to God. God continued to use them as the shepherds to their generation. What does that tell you? He tells you God is just looking for someone he can get in covenant with. Yes. So he can do some great things in partnership with them on the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. God is just looking for a door. He's just looking for a gatekeeper. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah. Amen. Men, hear me. Don't be a spiritual sissy like Ahab. Ahab was not like Abraham. He had no connection to God. He had no spiritual depth whatsoever. He was not a covenant man. And he had no spiritual authority in his life, even though he was called to be a king. Both of their names sounded very similar, Abraham, Ahab. But beyond their anatomical endowments, there were no similarities at all whatsoever between Abraham and Ahab. I need you to look at these two scriptures with me about this man they call King Ahab. It's in 1 Kings chapter 21. Let's read it together. 1 Kings chapter 21. And let's read from verse 4 to 8. And then we'll go and jump to verse 17. This man Ahab, let's read it together. 1 Kings chapter 21. It should be on the screen above there. And Naboth said to Ahab, where am I? 1 Kings 21. I'm sorry. 1 Kings. Is that where I am? Thank you. I want verse 4. Okay. That's really not what I'm looking for. So what am I? Yeah, that's it. All right, let's go. 1 Kings chapter 21 and verse 3. And Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto you. You know, you may not know this story. It's not a very, we don't talk about it every time. But this man, King Ahab, wanted a vineyard. He wanted something. He wanted this vineyard. He is the king. Every time he goes by this vineyard, he really wants this vineyard. So he finds out who is the owner of this vineyard. They tell him who the owner of the vineyard is. He goes to the owner of the vineyard. His name is Naboth. And he said, Naboth, give me your vineyard and I'll pay you any price for it. And Naboth said, King, this is my inheritance from my fathers. I can't give it to you. Verse 4. And Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he has said, I will not give thee my inheritance, the inheritance of my fathers. And Ahab, the king, he laid him down upon his bed and he turned his face to the wall and he would eat no bread. Oh, baby. He's sulking. Can you see that? He's the king. But he's sulking. He wants something real bad. He can't get it. He doesn't have a connection to God. He has no covenant with God. He does not know how to lay hold on the promises of God using his faith in the word of God. All he knows is human manipulations. So he uses all the human manipulations that he has to try to get it, and he still wouldn't produce the result that he desired. And then what does he do? He starts sulking and throwing a fit. Oh, baby. Verse 5, but Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is your spirit so sad? Why are you eating no bread? It's like one of our children. I love him so much. I'm not going to call his name. But one time when we had baptism and all his friends were getting baptized. I'm not going to call this my son that I love very much. I won't call his name so you don't. But all his friends were getting baptized and he was so upset and he wouldn't talk to anyone. And he was sulking. And his mother came into my office. And his mother said, he's just so upset because all his friends are getting baptized. And I said, go bring him. And she brought him. And I said, come on. Why are you so upset? It's going to be your turn next time. So, we said, every time I say, hey, I take a chocolate. Take a cookie. After a while, he said to his mother, can I just leave? I just want to leave. Now he has grown. This, my son, has really grown. I'm so proud of him now. He's becoming a man. He's becoming a man of God. I haven't seen him sulk like that in a long time. But back then, it was no matter what you said. Can you imagine a king like that? The king of a whole nation. Come on, get up. I made pounded yam. We have mashed potato and gravy. What is wrong with you? Oh, baby. baby. And he said unto her, because I spoke to Naboth and the Jezreel, and I told him, give me your vineyard for money. I said, if it please, I will even give you anything you want for it. And then he told me, well, give me his vineyard. It broke my heart. And Jezebel said, oh, baby. Those of you who call your husbands baby, this is why they behave like babies. You see, when you call them baby, you say baby, baby this, baby that, baby the now. She is baby. It's okay. She's baby. Because she's supposed to be corseted. She's supposed to be carried. She's supposed to be nurtured. She's supposed to be loved. She's supposed to, yeah, she's baby. But then when a woman starts calling her husband baby, get ready for the pacifier. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, are you not the king? Do you not govern this entire nation? Come on, baby. Arise. Get up, baby. Let me help you. Let me help you. Baby. When a man refuses to pray in the morning, somebody say, Pastor, be gentle. It's not about preaching it. This is about God wants to get something. There's an anointing for headship in this house right now. And it's right there in the spirit. It's everywhere. So the Lord wants to impart that anointing for headship. He wants to impart that anointing for headship. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Oh, baby. We don't have to help you put on your socks in the morning. We don't have to help you get your underwear. We don't have to help you. We don't have to help you do the things that you are supposed to be responsible for doing. We don't have to tell you how to make the things happen that need to happen that you ought to know about. We don't have to baby you. We don't have to baby you. I love the men singing on the pulpit. My God, for how many years I've been looking for men to sing on the pulpit? Before Father's Day, a few weeks ago, I told our pastor, I want all men choir. I've been waiting for years to see all men singing on the pulpit. Why does it have to be the women all the time? Why is it the women teaching the children? Why is it the women doing the ushering? Why is it? I've been waiting for men. I've been waiting for men. And today, an anointing was released in this house to usher men to the pulpit. Hallelujah. We are going to serve the kingdom of God. We will not be shy or self-conscious. Why should a man be shy? Why should a man be self-conscious? It is usually women that are shy. Why should men want to sit at the back? Why? I've never gone to conferences in my life. We'll wake up early. Those conferences, many of those conferences where we sat down and listen to other ministers, minister the word and teach the word. And all those conferences, the services will start like 7 or 8. By 4 o'clock, I'm already dressed. Because you have to be there early. I want a seat up front. I've never understood it. Why do people like to sit at the back? You don't believe spiritual things. Because if you believe spiritual things, you know there is an anointing. There is an anointing right there. The woman with the issue of blood, she didn't stay all the way at the back and say, it's all right, just, you know, one way or the other. No, she push away. And finally, she grabbed the hold. This is not in my notes. You won't find it there. But I'm just preaching by the Spirit of God. She grabbed the hold of his garment and said, I know that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. It wasn't somebody else that made her touch him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Come on, men. It's time to come up front.
Yes.
Come on, men. How many men? I still have a few men. You guys, come up. Come. I have room here. Men, leave your wives behind. Come and stand right. Sit in front of me. Sit right here. Young men, older men, sit right there. Yeah, that's right there. Yeah, thank you for doing that. There's an anointing. You are an example. In the kingdom of God, you are an example. Example is the one who is ahead, and then the others are following behind.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory be to God. Jezebel said, "Are you not the king over this nation?" All over the world, in every Christian gathering, there are more women from the time of Christ. There have been more women named, listed, serving. Many times, unfortunately, even doing things that men should be doing. Why? Somebody say, be gentle, Pastor. Men, tell me, say, stretch your hand to him, say, Pastor, be gentle. Why? Even Pastor gave up. You see now? Pastor, just without me asking, she gave up her seat. Man, come and sit up front. Can you see that? Can you see that? You see how that works? You see how that works? Our women, our mothers, our wives, they're so precious. They'll just do anything. They'll give anything if nobody's doing it. It's not that they want to do all those things they're doing. But if the people that are supposed to do it are not there, they're going to give anything and they'll do it. They'll get it done. But this is reverse covenant. Read your Bible. Jesus had 12 apostles. There was no woman. I know people don't like hearing these kind of things in churches. But I'm preaching it to you. I'm preaching the word to you. You show me. Jesus' ministry was surrounded by women. The Bible listed these women. Many of these women provided. They gave. They served. They helped. Many of these women were some of his most dependable followers. But not one of them was an apostle. Not one. Not one. There's a change coming.
Amen.
I said there's a change coming.
Amen.
Men are going to rise up and take their place.
Amen.
I said men are going to rise up and take their place. And they will do it boldly. They will do it confidently. They will do it happily. They will do it joyfully. Men, when I'm preaching hard like that, you should stand up and say yes. Look at the women and say yes. That's what you ought to do. Don't sit down so cool. Like you're not even. Just get up and say, yeah. 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 That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Now sit down. Let's keep on going. It's not only at the games. It's not only at the games that we get up and shout. It's no. Real men still love Jesus. I said real men still love Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me try to close this. My time is going. Thank you. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you. She said, oh, baby. Oh, baby. Don't worry about it. I'll give you another vineyard for it. Jezebel said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you. So she wrote letters, verse 8, in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal. Look at this. This is the typical definition of a figurehead. This is not a head. This is a figurehead. She said, I'll use your stamp. I'll write the letters. I will sign the letters. I will send it to all the elders. We will kill this man. I will use all of your identity, but I will do the work.
Wow.
What about you then, man? Ahab, what are you doing? Sitting at home and sulking and throwing a fit because your emotions and your feelings are hurt. This is the typical definition of a figurehead. Don't worry. I'll take care of the family. I'll provide everything that is needed. I'll do everything that we need to do. I'll take care of everything. Don't worry. I'll lead. I'll blah, blah, blah. But you will be the man. You are the man. When they talk about how many men are in church, you raise your hand, you are the man. But I will do the work. That is the typical definition of a figurehead. Ahab was not a head, he was a figurehead. He was a figurehead. She wrote letters. So I don't have time. You jump to verse 17. Right there in verse 17. You see where the word of the Lord came to Ahab. Notice it was Jezebel who wrote the letters. It was Jezebel who came up with the ideas to kill Naboth. They killed that man using Jezebel's ideas. But guess what? When it was time to hand down judgment, when God sent his prophet to hand out judgment, guess who he sent the message to? Ahab. That reminds you of the Garden of Eden.
Yes. Yes.
It was not the person who took the fruit from the serpent that God came. When God stood in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, Adam, where are you? He never once said, Eve, where are you? Not once did he say, not once, it's not in the Bible. Not once. Not once. Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Oh God, how many homes, how many families, how many communities, how many nations, how many churches is God in today screaming out, man, man, where are you? Man, my man, created in my image, appointed to headship. Where are you? Where are you? Nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. It's changed today. I said, there's change today. There's change today. Listen, I'm going to try to close this real quickly. I'm going to say a few things. Listen to me closely, men and women. Listen to me. They called him King Ahab, but he really wasn't the king. Guess who was the king? It was Jezebel. Your physical anatomy is not what makes you a man, spiritually speaking, before God. It is your placement. Listen, I got to read that again. Your physical anatomy is not what makes you a man, spiritually speaking, before God. It is your placement. Listen to this. It is not the shape of the human head that makes it the head. It is his placement. I don't have time now. I'm running out of time. But I wish I could give you a little illustration. If you took any head of any animal, they all don't look the same, regardless of where you found them. It's where they are placed that makes them the head. It's their placement that makes them the head. The shape of a dog's head is different from the shape of a cat's head, and they are both different from the shape of a human head, but they are all heads nonetheless. They are all heads nonetheless. Ahab was a sissy, but Jezebel was the king. Ahab was king in name only. King in name only. Listen, I have a little assignment for you. Men listening to me from all over the world, wherever you, this message catches you. The head. It's the head that carries the eyes and the ears and the mouth and the brains and the nose. Regardless of the anatomy or shape, whoever can see a vision for the future is the head. Whoever can hear the voice of God and act on it is the head. Whoever can smell and perceive in the spirit and receive godly wisdom is the head. Whoever can access spiritual understanding is the head. Whoever can speak to God first, speak to God more, and command for God with spiritual authority is the head. It is not your anatomy that makes you your head, makes you the head. It is your placement. If you carry the eyes and you carry the ears and you carry the nose and you carry the brains and you use them, you use them. You see the vision for the future. Hallelujah. You pursue the vision for the family. Hallelujah. You hear the voice of God and you act on it. You go out and you perceive and you smell in the spirit like Abraham perceived in the spirit. You receive godly wisdom. You access spiritual understanding. You find out the way to go and you walk in that way. And you command everybody to walk in that way because it is the way of the Lord. You speak for God first. You speak for God more. You command more for God with spiritual authority. That's what makes you the head. Men, point to me, say, Pastor, gentle, gentle, gentle. It is not your anatomy that makes you the head. It is your placement. You see, when I talk to you later on, somewhere, I don't know when, as we go along in this series of messages, keep the serpent out of your garden, I'll tell you some real hard truths, hardcore truths from creation about God's mind for the genders, for the family, for the body of Christ, the church. I'll show it to you. God's order is so pure, it's so beautiful. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. Jesus said, no greater love has any man than that they lay. It's the man who lays down their lives. It's the man. He's the man who says, well, we're both short of time. Don't worry. I'll take it. I'm tired, but I'll take it. Don't worry. I'll go for it. I'll go do it. He's the man who says, don't worry, I'll do anything. I'll do anything we need to do to keep our family moving forward, to establish the will of God concerning our future. I'll do anything. If I need to go wash bathrooms, I'll wash bathrooms. Whatever I need to do, I'll do anything.
Amen.
That's headship. That's the definition of headship.
Yes.
It's the man who gets up to pray and wakes the family up. Come on, it's time to pray. It's the man who gets the word, sits around the word, listens to it, takes the outline, studies it, begins to put it to work. It's the man who goes, still short of time, goes out and does his work and labors and comes back and receives resources. It's the man who does it. That's headship. That's headship. Where the head goes, the body follows. You don't see the body leading the head. You look at that. Look at every human being created by God. You never see the body leading the head. It's a misnomer. It never happens. You don't see the leg saying, I'm going to go. And the head doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to fall in a pit. This is the power of headship. There's an anointing for headship. It's not a put down. It's not a put down. I'm saying in love, with as much gentility to everyone that can hear me, God said there will be an anointing for headship.
Amen.
I'm looking for that anointing. I'm seeing it already. I'm feeling it already. There's an anointing for headship. There's an anointing for headship.
Amen.
Glory be to God. We're so blessed. We're so blessed with good men, with godly men. But my men, there's so much more to that headship. There's so much more to that headship. I want to give you a little assignment here. Every man ought to go back to their homes today and enjoy the great celebration that is Father's Day. But when you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to ask yourself these questions. Number one, am I really the head of my family? Number two, am I the one who sees and executes the vision that will get us to the future God has for our family? Number three, am I the one who hears the voice of God clearly first in this family? Number four, am I the one who speaks to God the most? Who speaks for God the most in this family? Number five, am I the one who perceives spiritually and sources the wisdom of God in this family? If you cannot answer yes to all those questions, God is calling you today to make a change. There's an anointing in this service for headship. If you desire to follow God's purpose for your life and become a man after God's own heart, there's a special anointing for you in this service today. There's a lot of work to be done, but it begins with the first step. The very first step, it says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, quit you like men. That's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, quit you like men. In the HCSB version, it says, act like a man. Say with me, act like a man. Say it again. Say, it's time to act like a man. Like a man of God.
Like a man.
I know most of us are men. We are men of authority. We lead. We do great things. Look at our lives, tell the story. You are beautiful children. You are beautiful families. Your spouses. I mean, the fact that you married or you went and got someone so blessed, so spiritual, shows that you have a lot of wisdom. But there is more work to be done. There is more work to be done. We've taken the first step. We've got to take more steps to move forward. Act like a man and be strong. Let me close right here. I am a man under authority. Amen. I am a man under authority. Let's close right here. In that scripture, in Matthew chapter 8, let's read it real quickly. I want to give you 7 things that marked out this man. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. Say with me, I'm a man under authority. Matthew chapter 8, let's read from verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, they came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lies at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. And he said to them that followed, verily, verily, I say unto you, I've not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He's a man under authority. Number one, he was a man of compassion and love. He was the one who went to Jesus and talked about his servant. Lord, have mercy, heal my servant. He's a man of compassion and love. Number two is a man with initiative. He took the first step. He didn't sit at home and wait for Jesus to come knocking on his door. He went out looking for Jesus. He's a man of initiative. He said, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. He didn't send his wife to Jesus. He took the first step and went to Jesus, come. Come and heal my servant. Number three is a man of great humility. Look at him. He says, you don't have to come into my house. My house, no. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. Just speak the word. I don't deserve for you to come into my house. He's a man of great humility. Number four is a man of deep insight and wisdom. So I know if you will just speak the word, if you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed. If you will just speak the word, my servant will be healed. You don't even have to go to the house. If you just speak the word, he was a man of deep insight and wisdom. He knew what would happen. He knew what would happen before it happened. Yeah. Number five, he was a man with uncommon vision. He saw his servant healed first. He saw his servant healed before the servant was healed. He saw his servant healed before the servant was healed. He's a man with an uncommon vision. Number six, he's a man under authority, who knows how to yield to authority and wield authority as a sword whenever needed. He said to Jesus, Jesus, I'm a man under authority. I say to one, go, and they go. I say to another, come, and they come. That's all I need to do. I just need to say it. When I give the command, it happens. Jesus, give the command, and my servant will be healed. He's a man under authority. He knows how to yield to authority. I go when they say go, and I say go and they go. He knows how to yield to authority, and he knows how to wield authority as a sword whenever it's needed. Number seven, finally, he's a man of great faith and conviction. He's not a sissy like Ahab. He's a man of great faith and conviction. He knows exactly where we need to go, how we need to get to where we want to get to. He knows. And then he gets help with the beautiful partner that the Lord has given to him. And he surrounds himself with help with their children and the other people that are connected with. But he knows. He's not blind. He's not ignorant. He's not unmotivated. Not spiritually, not socially, not financially, not mentally, not in any way. He has his A game on. He occupies headship. He's the man.
a man of great conviction, a man after God's heart. Would everyone please stand up with me today? I want us to just pray. I don't care how you feel. You may not feel that spiritual. Spirituality is not a feeling. Spirituality is a direct, real connection with God. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I want you to join me today. Let's connect with God. And for those of us that are men, older men, younger men, there's an anointing for headship right here in this service. I want you to connect with that anointing for headship right now. The Holy Spirit is moving, is pouring out. He's been doing that since the beginning of the service. But this is a moment. This is a moment that we consecrate before Him. We make this moment a sacred moment to Him. And we yield like the men of praise sang earlier in the service, my head, my feet, my toes, my whole body. My whole body. We yield every part of ourselves to Him. We hold nothing back. From our spirits to our minds, to our hearts, to our physical beings, we hold nothing back. Like the centurion who came to Jesus, we come running. Like Abraham, who ran into the house, who ran into his herd to pick the best for God. We go running when God saw us, when He sends us. We give Him everything we have. We hold nothing back. With love and compassion, with the heart of a servant, we go for it. We fully sell out completely. We fully sell out. We're not dilly-dallying and straddling the fence. We go for it completely. We're people of vision. We're not double-minded. We're not afraid to take risks, to take the initiative. We don't sit back. We don't sit back and let others do it and then go enjoy the benefits of it. No, no, no. We go for it. We're the first one to talk to God about it. Lord, do you want us to do this? Lord, are you saying this is right? Lord, then help us. Show us how. Give us your wisdom. Pour out your grace. We do the hard work. We don't sit back and carry the bag. We carry the bag out of love and servitude and friendship and humility. But as we carry the bag, we lead. We say, this is where the Lord wants us to go. We go there with assurance. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that, my friends. To know with clarity and direction. There's a lot of hard work that goes into that. But that anointing is right here for us today to help us know, to help us see. Everyone, please raise up your hand to heaven. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you today with all my heart, holding nothing back. Feel me afresh. Touch me afresh. Let your word that has stirred my heart today produce change, next step change in my life. I receive the anointing for headship. I receive the anointing for love and compassion. I receive the anointing for humility. I receive the anointing for godly authority. I receive the anointing to see vision clearly. I receive the anointing to walk in covenant like Abraham did. I receive the anointing to step out and take my Jericho like Joshua did. And I thank you for that anointing.
I walk in the fullness of it. I give you praise for it. I bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Go ahead and shout about it. Come on. Give the Lord a praise. Come on, give the Lord a praise. He deserves it. Come on.